Quincy Morris, Vampire, by P. N. Elrod. Prologue. Much to my surprise, the story of the pursuit and execution of Dracula the Vampire by my friends and myself that was published some 3 years after the event has remained in print and held its popularity with readers for over 100 years. As it is so well known in the public mind, I shall not summarize it here, but will proceed straight into my own tale. At the time, I wasn't the dedicated diarist as were my friends, but have endeavored to make up for it with this volume. For them, the story was ended. For me, it began. Quincy P. Morris. Chapter 1. Transylvania, November 1893. No single sense returned first. They mobbed me. The numbing cold, the soft whine of dogs, the rough jostling, all tumbled together in my dulled brain like seeds in a rattle. I slipped to and fro between awareness and nothing, until a sharp lurch and bump caught my attention, holding me awake for longer than a few seconds. It was enough that I dimly comprehended something was very wrong. The next moment of consciousness I managed to keep hold of. The moments to follow had me wishing I had done otherwise. Things were strongly tugging at my feet and legs, which seemed to be bound up. So was the rest of my body. I was wrapped snug and tight in a blanket from head to toe, unable to move or see. It was right over my face, which I never could abide. I groaned, trying to get free of the annoyance. At this feeble sound and movement, the tugging abruptly stopped, and the things, which I dazedly grasped to be several dogs, snuffled at me. I couldn't tell how many, but to judge by their sound, several, at the least, seemed to hold me as the focus of their attention. It made no sense until, with a raw shock tearing through my nerves, I realized they weren't dogs, but wolves. In that instant, full alertness returned, mind and body hurtling awake. I froze utterly, in the full expectation that the wolves would start ripping into me as I lay helpless before them. After a few truly terrible moments when nothing happened, I tried to swallow my heart back into place, but there wasn't spit enough in my mouth for the job. With whines and growls, their strong jaws clamped firmly on my wrappings again, and they resumed dragging me along. I could only think that, made bold by hunger, they had entered our camp and picked me to pull away to a safe distance where they could feed. Panic would kill me. I dared not shout an alarm to my friends. The noise might spark the wolves to attack their prize. They'd held off, for the time being. So I gritted my teeth and waited and listened in the frail hope I might somehow find a way out of this alive.